So beside me here, I've got our youth staff. These are our three youth ministers here at Highland, Ted, Emily, and Donnie. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if you clap afterwards. That'll be the real test. No, great. These are awesome people, and I'm so grateful to get to do ministry alongside them, and I'm just humbled and awed by the wonderful work that they do with our young people. And so every year on the Senior Sunday, when we bless our seniors, we also call up our youth staff up on stage to kind of do a state of the union about various things, youth ministry and young people. And so over the last few years, we've heard about some of the most challenging things that young people are up against these days. We've heard about some of the most important messages that need to be spoken into the lives of young people. And you've heard those from our youth ministers. But today we want to do something a little bit different. I've said a couple weeks ago that this Sunday, the two before this one and the next one, vision or outreach contribution next week, that these are all four vision Sundays. So they're all Sundays that have to do with the big vision that we believe God's given this church. And so our vision here at Highland is to build up the next generation. I talk about that a lot, and you've seen this image before. We believe that this is what the Lord has called this church to. And so since this is a vision Sunday, and our vision as a church is to build up the next generation, we wanted to talk a little bit specifically today about discipleship. Because that word build up, that you see those first two words in our vision, really is synonymous with the biblical term of discipleship. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And you'll get to hear from these three. And I asked them to do something a little bit different and to do a little bit of a testimony about their own lives, about who discipled them, how they did it, and what you and I can learn from those who discipled these folks here. Let me just say another word about that vision. Build up the next generation. That phrase build up is a construction term, actually, in the Bible. It's the phrase that Jesus uses when he talks about building your house either on sand or on a rock. And so the rains come down and the floods rise, and your house is either going to go splat or it's going to stay standing based on what it's built on or how it's built. So that's the language of being built up, okay? It's the same language. And so our hope and our aim is that we would build up people who are strong in Christ so that when life's storms come, they don't crumble, but they retain their faith. And so that word, build up, or that phrase, is synonymous with what Jesus talks about of discipleship, okay? That all of us would be following him, being changed by him, and joining in his mission. And as we do that, that we would be built up. But what I talked about a couple weeks ago, what is probably true in your life, is that there are people who discipled you, people who helped you to follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. You're probably thinking about those people right now. So I want to hear from Ted and Emily and Donnie about who discipled them and what they did well. So let me start with Ted. Ted, talk to us about who discipled you.
Yeah, so when I reflect on people who discipled me, it's hard for me to just pick one because there has been a great cloud of witness in my life that has helped bring me to where I am today. But I was thinking about a guy, his name is Todd. And for 6 years, for many of you, you may not know my story. Part of my story is that my mom did not go to church until after I went to college. And so getting to church was kind of, you have to find your way. And there's this guy named Todd who went to the church that I went growing up, and he would take me to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. And for a teenager to spend that much time with him in the car, you probably like, bless his heart. But Todd did that every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I count that as one of my favorite spiritual moments and something that has helped develop me, because in those van rides every Sunday and every Wednesday, Todd was just so intentional with me. We talked about the Bible, and we talked about many things, and I asked him a lot of questions. And it was in that van that I decided to give my life to Christ, where I first verbalized the idea that I wanted to be baptized. And weeks later, I was baptized in flaming swimming trunks and no T-shirt in front of the church. It was in that same van that I verbalized that I wanted to go into ministry. And so that van carries many memories with me because I was just able to have this shoulder-to-shoulder conversation with Todd. And to this day, one of my favorite things is to drive the church bus, because relationships are being built on that bus of having this shoulder-to-shoulder conversation. And Todd was so intentional in the way that he asked me questions, in the way that he discipled me. And we had formal Bible studies, But the thing that I got out of the most was just those conversations in that van ride, that I got more out of those than the formal Bible study that we had, because that's where I felt the heart of Jesus in just having this conversation. And so as I think about how Todd has impacted my life, I want to talk to the seniors that are here today, and I also want to talk to the adults. This sermon is for you too. As we think about like how we can be disciples to others and how we can be disciples to the next generation or disciple people that are around us, when we think about discipleship, and we're like, we probably all have the desire to disciple people, but adding another thing to our schedule just seems absolutely crazy. And so I want you to think about the areas and the spaces that you are in, and how can you be intentional in that environment? And there's probably people in each of your spaces that needs to know Jesus a little more, that wants to learn about Jesus a little more, that you can be intentional with discipling them and help them to know Jesus a little more. As I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite verses is Hebrews 12:1, and it talks about this cloud of witness that has been in my life. I want to read that verse to you. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great clouds of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." One of my biggest blessings in life was having a cloud of witness in my life. Now that I'm an adult, an even bigger blessing is to be able to be a cloud of witness in others' lives. And we all have that opportunity, and I challenge you to seek those opportunities to be a cloud of witness and to be intentional with the people that you are around.
So what I love about Ted's story is that Todd was not part of Ted's family, not biological family, but he became part of his family in Christ and saw it as his responsibility to invest in this young man for God's sake. So he discipled a guy who wasn't a family member, right? But it took time to pour into him and made a life-changing difference in Ted's life. And I love that. So this is Emily Cohorn, and Emily is our newest youth minister. We introduced her a few months ago, and we are so delighted to have Emily with us, and she's already doing great things. Emily has a terrific story, and so we just talked about somebody in Ted's life who wasn't part of his family. What happened in Emily was that some family members made a huge difference in her life, and so Emily's going to talk about that.
So when I was little, very little, my parents worked a lot, as many of you guys probably have similar experiences. And our grandparents, this is a major benefit that not everybody has, is they all lived in town, which was awesome. We got very close to them. And so every day, my parents would drop me off at my grandma and grandpa's house. And we did all sorts of things. They were so fun. They made great, elaborate breakfasts for me, and we watched TV, The Price is Right, together. And all of that was so cool. But one of the coolest things now, looking back, was at the very end of every morning, right before we would get in the bus, which was my grandmother's car, she would have me sit at the table with her and my grandpa, and she had a bowl that just had little slips of paper in it. And the first time she brought it out, I was like, what are we doing? Like, what is this going to be? And she decided, you know, we were going to make kind of an intentional moment before school every day. And so as we would get ready to leave, she would have me draw one out, and it always had either a Bible verse, a question, or just like some sort of thought. And so we would have a devotional over one of those things that we would pull out. And so my grandma handwrote them on there, and it was such a sweet moment to just pull those out and sit together and be with our Lord together. And in a moment when I couldn't be with my parents, it was a different area. We didn't go to church with them. So it was kind of this crossing a bridge of building those things together. And so we would sit in the Word every single day together before school. And then also, it extended past just like our family influence of them to me, but every Thanksgiving, they would invite strangers to the house for Thanksgiving. And for a lot of people, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, those are very sacred family times, and it is, but they decided, we have a family that's bigger than ours. And so they invited some international students from Oklahoma Christian who didn't have family to go home to. They couldn't take that short of a break to go back to their country. And so we would have them in our home or in my grandparents' home around the dining room table, playing catchphrase, watching crazy movies together, and just getting to be a part of a family that was greater than just the few of us in our immediate family. And for me, at those times, some of those things felt annoying. I'll be honest with you. It was like, I just want to be with my family, or I just want to get to school and see my friends. But in those moments, they knew something greater. And so for them, they knew that those moments were going to be instrumental in later on affecting my life. And so all those little things that are happening where you're making tiny bits of time in the schedule you have, those add up. They're little drops in a bucket that eventually fill and overfill and overflow to other people. And so for me at those times, it seemed insignificant. And now it is huge. So as I thought about today and thinking about my grandparents and that influence, just recognizing the things that you're doing in the lives of other people matter today and forever. And so just a few little things. First is just trying to be Jesus, looking at his example, following along as best you can, doing the things that you try to do every day to be more like him. Because after all, to be discipling someone else, you first have to be a disciple and following as well. Second is just try something, start something. Make little pieces of paper to put Bible verses on to do with your child or your friend or your grandkid or your spouse, whoever. Start a small thing that builds in to just the normal schedule you have. And third, the story that you have matters. So we're sitting here telling our stories and people that matter to us. But sharing those things across generations not only means something to that person, I'm going to, tell my grandparents to watch this today, but you guys later on build that into your children and their children and their children to remember God's goodness, God's faithfulness, so that not only are we writing scripture on our hearts, but we're also sharing in the good work that he does in our own.
Amen. Yeah, there you go. That's fine. Yeah. What I love about the example of Emily's grandparents is that that's good advice for anybody wanting to make a kingdom difference in somebody else's life, is that they were pouring the word of God into her through those little slips of paper. They were praying with her. They were being good examples of what it means to follow Jesus through their hospitality. So those are good examples for anybody. But I love that her grandparents were doing that. And I know we've got grandparents in the room who are trying to think through, like, how are we blessing and forming our grandchildren? I've heard that grandparenting is better than parenting. And so I'm looking forward to that. And maybe you're thinking about what can I do for my grandchildren? Do I have a responsibility? Yes, you have a great responsibility. And Emily's story speaks to that. All right, Donnie, tell us about who discipled you and what they did that made a difference in your life.
First of all, to steal Gerald Jerkins' joke from last week, there are ministers that wear gingham and there's ministers that don't. I'll let you make the judgment about who's better. No, it's been fun to think about all the people who've poured into my life and discipled me. The first person that came to mind was Susie Jerkins, and she showed me what it looked like to include people. She always had a fridge full of drinks and a counter full of snacks for any time her boys brought friends over. And I was lucky enough to be one of those friends. And any time I was at our house, I felt like I belonged. And she discipled me in that way. One person came to mind that was only in my life for a really brief time in college. And he encouraged me to go into ministry. And he taught me how to study the Bible one-on-one with somebody. So you can disciple somebody even in a short amount of time. But the person that I really wanted to highlight today is my dad, because my dad taught me that church is essential to faith. And he did that in several ways. One of them was that when I was sick as a little kid and on Sunday morning and we stayed home from church, it was not a day off from church. He would turn the TV off and share a Bible story with her family. And it's, for some reason, it sticks out to me so vividly because I remember getting ready for church when I was little. And every Sunday, we would get ready and start walking out the door. And there was a show called Flipper that came on only on Sunday mornings. And the theme song would start playing and we'd be walking out the door. So every time I was sick, I thought to myself, oh, this is my chance to watch this show. And still to this day, I've never watched Flipper. and that may sound really legalistic to like go to church every week, but it wasn't just a box that my dad checked. Like, it was central to who he was and to our life as a family. And he passed that on to me and showed me how important that is. And, you know, one of the things Brishan says all the time is it's the best thing in the world to be a Christian. And what better place to experience all those blessings than church, right? Also remember the best week of the year growing up at the church that I grew up for us was VBS. And my dad was the educational minister at that church for like 35 years, and he was in charge of VBS. And he'd always make it this grand event every year. And one of the things that he always encouraged my brother and I to do was to invite our friends. And I remember him driving us, driving his blue Chevy pickup truck around town, picking up our friends in the back of the truck and taking them to the church. And we drop them off at church and then go get more. And I know that's illegal and I know it's not safe, but the heart behind it was, hey, we have this awesome thing going on here. There's this awesome group of people in this awesome place. And we're learning about an incredible God, and we don't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to share that with others and make sure others get to experience what is so significant and important to us. And, you know, the other day I was talking to my dad, and his health has made it to where he can't be at church every time the doors are open. And like when I was growing up, literally we were there opening the doors and closing the doors. Like we'd walk out to the parking lot and be the last car in the parking lot. And unfortunately my kids have that same experience most Sundays and Wednesdays. But despite being 86 years old, every week my dad teaches a Bible class on Wednesday night at the church that he's at now. And I'll call him on a Monday or Tuesday, and even though he's taught the same Bible, same book of the Bible 15 times, he's studying commentaries and getting ready for that class. And what stands out to me is he is literally telling the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Psalm 78, 4 through 6 says this: "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, so that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." And that's what church does. It's what my dad does. It's what my dad did for me and discipled me. And so I guess my challenge, especially for our graduates, is really simple. Go to church. Like, it matters. It makes a difference. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't know anybody, even when it's not like Highland. And it may look different. It may be a campus ministry or a Bible study or a worship experience, but make it a regular rhythm of your life because it matters. It makes a difference. And for everybody else, I would encourage you, don't keep what we have here to yourselves. Like, God is doing amazing things. I love these people. I love this church. And let other people experience it. There are other people that don't have this. And we need to be sharing that with other people. And when you invite them, just make sure they have a seatbelt, that you have a seatbelt for them. You know, Eric did a series a couple of months ago about things Christians do. And one of the things he said is that Christians go to church. And I'm so thankful that my dad taught me to go to church.
Amen. Well said. Okay, let me end with this encouragement that Jesus has given you everything that you need to make disciples. And not only has he given you what you need, that he has encouraged you and even commanded you to do that very thing. Jesus says just before he leaves, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then you remember the next line. He says, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Now, I believe Jesus is with every person that comes to believe and be baptized into him, but he makes a special promise to those who would follow his command in obedience to make disciples. He makes a special promise to be with them always. And isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want? So each of those seniors that you saw up here this morning, they're going to be asked this summer if they want to be part of a discipleship relationship before they're launched on to whatever it is that they're doing next. And maybe you are being called to be part of that. I'd ask you to pray over that. And if so, that you would talk to me or to talk to one of these youth ministers here. And the second thing I'd ask you to do is I'd ask you to be praying for every young person in this church that God has blessed us with, that you would pray that each one of them would have people in their life helping them to know and follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join his mission. And maybe you're that person. Let me pray over us as we finish. God, I give you great praise and thanks for the blessing of the young people here at this place. God, our prayer is that we would build them up in your power, in your grace, and in your strength for your glory. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.